days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Welcome to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. Please open your hearts to hear an anointed message that will encourage and empower you to walk in the love and light of God's Word.
Beloved, in part 3 of Doctrines of Demons and the Great Falling Away, we will continue to address this life or death topic, which I believe is one of the most important precursors to the soon return of Jesus, and one that true believers must take very seriously, especially in our contending for the true faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, as mandated in Jude 1:3. Paul marked it as the last day's indicator when he wrote in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that, in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. He also described the agents of Satan, who coming as angels of light, and being controlled by seducing spirits, would be the purveyors of these doctrines of demons, saying that they were of those who forbid marriage and eating of certain foods, which God had commanded to be good. Paul was not saying that the forbiddance of marriage and abstaining from certain foods were the core doctrines of demons that he was warning us of, but that it was the earmark of these deceivers, who execute their own power to dictate the commandments of men, rather than submitting to the commandments of God. They forbade what God had called to be good, thus attempting to usurp his final authority in all things. And this thread of arrogance is woven throughout every demonic doctrine that has been orchestrated by Satan, the chief demon over every deadly deception. These impostors come offering a false light that is very appealing to fallen man, because it allows him to live by his own terms while believing that he can partake in salvation's benefits. But in Matthew 6:22, we read the stark warning of Jesus, where he proclaims that, "If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus came to deliver mankind out of the domain of sin and darkness, and into his glorious kingdom of love, light, and eternal life. But Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy, and his methods are so cunning and persuasive that his victims are not only unaware that they are being led to slaughter, but actually participate in them. Scripture is very clear on God's position regarding the servants of Satan who spread these doctrines of demons. In Matthew 18:6, Lord Jesus proclaimed, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." In 2 Peter 2, 12-20, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the apostle echoes the Lord's sentiments regarding the purveyors of demonic doctrines, where he writes, "But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls and having a heart trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, and mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become for them worse than the first. Beloved, let it be made very clear here that these impostors were never in the true faith. They never truly repented of their sins, nor did they fully submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And thus they were never born again of His Spirit. They merely took on the appearance of followers of Christ, which when their legitimacy was tested, it was proven to be a false and empty conversion. These impostors will be numbered in the company of people that Jesus addressed in chapter 7 of Matthew, where He declares that, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Jude refers to them as certain persons who have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. The list of doctrines of demons that have infiltrated the Church of Jesus Christ by way of these pretenders is expansive, covering a vast area of Lucifer's masterful counterfeits. But some of the more prominent ones might be considered as follows. Number 1, gay theology, which is the belief that homosexuality is not a sin. Consequently, the full and unadulterated gospel of rescue from sin's tyranny and the wages of death it bears is withheld from those who self-identify as gay while refusing to repent. We touched on this in our last segment, but I believe it is important to address it more extensively here again, because the spirit behind this aberration of God's divine order is growing more pervasive with each day that draws us closer to the Lord's return. Let me start by saying that the Lord loves gay people. He went to the cross and shed His perfect, holy, and priceless blood so that they could live forever with Him in paradise, in glorious resurrection power. And His arms are opened wide with love's invitation for them to run to Him with sincere repentance and to be delivered from the prison of this deadly lifestyle. And while some are truly victims of this controlling deception, it must be understood that the spirit behind this abomination is a deadly entity that is paving the way for the Antichrist and his global control through the stepping stones of Lucifer's hybrid race, starting with homosexuality, then leading to transgenderism, and finally, transhumanism. Not only does homosexuality fight for acceptance, it demands a position of honor and preference. It is a prideful and destructive spirit that alters not only the behavior and identity of those caught in its trap, but even the very soul of that deceived person. And if you want to see it in its full-blown array of wickedness, just watch a gay pride parade, if you can bear it. The abominations will sicken you and shatter even the most basic ideals of decency and morality. Naked and half-naked men and women, arrayed in monstrous and seductive costumes, marked wildly with decadence, while mocking everything that is holy and sacred, making Botticelli's depiction of Dante's Inferno mild in comparison. And yet there are self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel, the number of which is growing rapidly and infiltrating many denominations and even evangelical branches, who not only defend this abomination before God, but even applaud it, expressing pride for the one who has had the courage to step up and fight for their authentic self. A platitude which is truly absurd, because there is nothing authentic about these deceived ones who become so altered from the original that God created that they are no more authentic than a counterfeited dollar bill. As this aberration mutates into the next phase of its altering and destructive power, it morphs into transgenderism, where the deception runs so deep that people come into the darkened mindset that the gender God chose for them is not who they really are. Boys decide that they should be girls, and girls long to be boys. This insanity has gone so far that adults who should even instinctively know better are having their babies, toddlers, and teenagers mutilated and given powerful hormones to alter the gender of their child. The final goal of the enemy being transhumanism, which is being touted by such agents of the Antichrist as Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum he rules over, along with his prophet Yuval Noah Harari. Listen to what Klaus Schwab had to say regarding the Fourth Industrial Revolution. We stand on the brink of a technological revolution that will fundamentally alter the way we live, work, and relate to one another. In its scale, scope, and complexity, the transformation will be unlike anything humankind has experienced before. We do not yet know just how it will unfold, but one thing is clear. The response to it must be integrated and comprehensive, involving all stakeholders of the global polity, from the public and private sectors to academia and civil society. It is characterized by a fusion of technologies that is blurring the lines between the physical, digital, and biological spheres. The possibilities of billions of people connected by mobile devices with unprecedented processing power, storage, and capacity, and access to knowledge are unlimited. And these possibilities will be multiplied by emerging technology breakthroughs in the fields such as artificial intelligence, robotics, the Internet of Things, autonomous vehicles, 3D printing, nanotechnology, biotechnology, material science, energy storage, and quantum computing. What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity, end quote. In other words, transhumanism. This fusion, he states, will begin with wearable devices, but will soon advance to these devices being fused within the person himself. In his book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Schwab explains with excitement how upcoming technology will allow authorities to intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior, and again, end quote. He adds that fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity relates to the transhumanist singularity and a future where people will have their every movement tracked and every thought read by an implantable microchip. End quote. Enter the Antichrist. So we see, beloved, that the doctrine of demons that is held within gay theology is but a stepping stone to the global control of the Antichrist. But its greater danger is that much of the church has fallen into its deceptive beguilements and joined forces with its lying entrapment, when they should be praying for and ministering deliverance to the ones who have become imprisoned in its grip of eternal death and forever separation from the God of love. Unless they beckon to love's call to repent and become born again in the resurrection regeneration power of Jesus Christ the Savior. In our next segment, we will address the second doctrine of demons on our list, which is universalism. Until then, I leave you with Ephesians 5:15-16. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And, as always, beloved, I bid you his agape.
You've been listening to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at Agape Light Ministries, P.O. Box 6313, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, or via our website at www.agapelightministries.com. Again, that's www.agapelightministries.com.